Hi, everybody. Welcome. People are still kind of trickling in here, so I'll just give one more brief moment. How about we all just unmute for a second and say hi to everybody?
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
What's up, everyone?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, people. So we have a very full hour. We have a big, very full hour with lots of activities and presentations. So we'll be starting with Kiahi sharing a song with us, a prayerful song. And then Carolyn, an audio from David, and presentations from Gary Goodhue, Soma Hunter, Heather Gray, and Lana. And then we'll close with a meditation with Lana. So we got a lot moving this hour. So without further ado, let us begin our evening of the great unity and duality with a prayerful song about breathing in love and peace. Welcome, Kiahi.
Wow, Lauren. Welcome. So this is going to be interactive, Kay. So let your seat hold your weight. Let's roll our shoulders up and back. Deep breath. It's Wednesday, Thursday in Australia. I'm going to sing the words, and I invite you to join me, staying on mute. When I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I breathe out love. And each time we're going to take a pause after that lyric and do exactly what we just said we were going to do. Okay? When I breathe in peace. When I breathe out love. When I breathe in peace. When I breathe out love.
One more time.
When I breathe in peace. When I breathe out love.
Thank you, Kiahi. I'd like to share a prayer meditation of B. Pryor's. It's an opportunity to allow our hearts to soften and open to the bridge between our humanity and our divinity. That bridge is the heart. So I'd invite you to close your eyes, turn your palms upward. Deep breathing as we were just doing. And simply allowing the heart to begin to soften and open. Feeling the sensation in the body. Allowing the mind to shift its focus to pure awareness. And as we do that, we can begin to feel the mind also softening and opening to the infinite flow of pure consciousness that is always present. Just breathing deeply, going within where that takes you. softening also in our face. Knowing that our face is more than an image or an appearance. It may become the face of consciousness itself. Deep breath, and we begin to slowly, gently lift our hands from our laps. Feeling the expansiveness, the spaciousness of the movement as the body opens to the flow of pure conscious being, filling us, pouring through us. Hands gently rise. And as our palms gently turn toward prayer, feeling the body responding to the flow of being, opening our capacities at every level, body, mind, heart, and spirit. We might say there's a flow of love, the love that the beingness of higher reality holds for each of us, the love we hold for ourselves and for one another. And as our hands come together in prayer, sinking deeply into that merging of the form of our humanity and the formlessness of the reality of being. Giving ourselves fully to that beautiful complementary duality, that beautiful oneness. Just taking a moment of completion, we may place our hands over our hearts in gratitude for what we are sharing together this evening. Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Beautiful. Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, Kiahi. Feel the activation of the flow and the beautiful centering and the bridge, the divine and the human. So the next thing I'm going to play here is a audio excerpt of David Karsher speaking on Sunday, speaking about true dualism. So this is beautiful, beautiful talk that really is, to me, very unique in the realm of spiritual expression. It's not an expression of like a non-dual way. It's not an expression of a dualistic way, but it's an expression of, to me, the great unity in duality. So Let's hear David speak of true dualism from Sunday. Thank you.
And yet how duality can go so wrong. The duality of matter and potter creates life. They come together in union in the context of wholeness, and they create a whole. It begins with wholeness and it ends in wholeness. And yet there's a generation and a proliferation that occurs because of the dualism of two powerful forces finding expression in all the myriad ways they do in our human experience. And yet there's another kind of dualism that goes no place, that leads to conflict, that leads to winners and losers, that ultimately don't lift the whole. They're an attempt to lift some part of the whole above another part to the detriment of all in the end. So what is the difference? What's the difference between the dualism that destroys and the dualism that creates? That false dualism is a dualism between false cultural icons. False cultural icons. And I want to talk about exactly what I mean. There's a true dualism between potter and matter. The false dualism is between the cultural icon of what it means to be a man and the cultural icon of what it means to be a woman. Where a man is living out of that false cultural icon, he can't actually bring the potter. He can't bring the activating power of creation. He's bringing a facade. He's trying to live up to something that his culture tells him he ought to be. He's trying to look like a man and he's trying to act like a man. But he's not bringing the potter, the patterning frequency of creation and of the creator. He's trying to dominate, he's trying to impose, which is an altogether different thing. Of course, it doesn't take a man to bring the potter, and it doesn't take a woman to bring the matter. We all have access to these cosmic powers of creation. In the false dualism between cultural icons, there's no dynamism. There's nothing coming together because we're not talking about cosmic energies, we're talking about facades, cultural icons that have no power in them. The only power they have is given to them by the universe. And yet, because they're just a facade, they don't carry the richness. They don't carry the possibility of true union. Unifying icons does not create life. Unifying of potter and matter brings the child of life.
Beautiful. I love that so much. I can really feel the absolute nature of it. And the more I meditate on it, the more I see it everywhere within me and around me. So thank you so much for that, David. I'd like to welcome Gary Goodhue now to speak to us a bit and introduce our first round of listening pairs. Welcome, Gary.
Hey, thanks, Oren. Thank you, David. I really enjoy this topic of duality and this idea of the true duality and unity within the duality. And as I've been reflecting upon this, the symbol that comes to mind for me that really embodies this, what shows up for me is the yin-yang. It is this unity. It's one full circle. And yet inside of this, there's two different dual, what could almost be considered like opposing forces, like the white and the black. And inside of each one of those is yet still another circle with the other opposite dual end of the expression between the white and the black. And what's come up for me is that one of the reasons why we have duality, part of the design of duality, is to provide contrast. Because inside of the contrast between, say in this example, white and black, to have that dynamism, that dynamic difference that allows us to like fully experience one in the face of the other. For example, like if you were in a completely white room and never saw anything except for the color of white, then no other color would ever have any meaning because it's not present within your reality. And so this kind of white-black dynamic is found everywhere throughout all of creation. It is, I believe that everything in creation is created with purpose. Everything has a reason and a season, like day and night, and hot and cold, and light and darkness. It's all there. We get to experience all of it, and only because we have these different experiences of it do we get to enjoy one end of the spectrum or the other. And the purpose, I believe, is to come into a space of balance, where when we see one and begin to go into judgment of it as being right, and then the other one has to be wrong. And so one end of the spectrum of duality is better than the other one, then we get lost inside of false duality. True duality brings that balance, which creates a sense of harmony. And that is found everywhere throughout creation. So to bring us into a space of listening pairs, there is a question that we're going to work with. And it is, briefly name any situation in your life that may benefit from overcoming judgment. What's one thing that might shift when approaching that dynamic with greater awareness, acceptance, or discernment? So essentially, what's something in your life that has judgment that can be overcome, and that we can actually bring that into a sense of harmony by recognizing the reason and season for all things instead of going to a place or good or bad? And I guess we'll be going into breakout rooms, taking 2 minutes apiece to share with each other.
Here we go.
Well, that was a lovely sharing. This is Soma Hunter. I'm next on the list of presenters and sharers. I have a poem to read to you by a woman in her late 60s named Joy Harjo, who is a Native American, and she happens to be the poet laureate of the United States right now. This poem is called Speaking Tree. Some things on the earth are unspeakable. Genealogy of the broken. A shy wind threading leaves after a massacre. Or the smell of coffee and no one there. Some humans say trees are not sentient beings. But they do not understand poetry. Nor can they hear the singing of trees when they are fed by wind or water music. Or hear the cries of anguish when they are broken or bereft. Now I am a woman longing to be a tree and planted in the moist, dark earth, between sunrise
and sunset. I cannot walk through all realms. I carry a yearning I cannot bear alone in the dark. What shall I do with all this heartache? The deepest rooted dream of a tree is to walk. Even just a little ways from the place next to the doorway, to the edge of the river of life, and to drink. I have heard trees talking long after the sun has gone down. Imagine what it would be like to dance close together in this land of water and knowledge. To drink deep what is undrinkable. Thank you, Joy Harjo. Now we're going to be breaking up into listening pairs again, and I'd like you to consider this in your sharing. Like the poem, Imagining the Inner Life of a Tree, think of someone you know with his or her unique worldview. Name one strategy that might assist you to bridge the gap from false duality to true dynamic dualism with this person. So we're going into listening pairs now.
Yay, welcome back. I trust that was deep and fruitful for you. Now I'd like to welcome Heather.
Thanks, Oren. I'd like to read a poem called Masks by Shel Silverstein. She had blue skin, and so did he. He kept it hid, and so did she. They searched for blue their whole life through. They passed right by and never knew. That leads into our next question of the listening pairs, and it is, name one of your unique qualities that you tend to downplay. What might shift in your relationships if you were to embody a greater acceptance and ownership of that quality? You'll each have 2 minutes to share. Have fun.
Welcome back, all shiny and new with deep self-love and self-acceptance and ownership. We are going to move into a time of large group or whole group sharing. But before we do, I'd like to offer again this verse 28 from the Tao Te Ching that I offered on Sunday. Hold your male side with your female side. Hold your bright side with your dull side. Hold your high side with your low side. Then you will be able to hold the whole world. When the opposing forces unite within, there comes a power abundant in its giving and unerring in its effect, flowing through everything. It returns one to the first breath, guiding everything. It returns one to no limits. Embracing everything, it returns one to the uncarved block. When the block is divided, it becomes something useful, and leaders rule with a few pieces of it. But the sage holds the block complete, holding all things within, preserving the great unity which cannot be ruled or divided. Let's take a moment to breathe that in. When you're ready, you can unmute yourself and offer what's opening in your heart now. It could be anything from your groups, anything that touched you this evening.
Thank you, Oren. I love how even the first sentence of what you just read, you know, talked about the masculine and the feminine, because that was the first place that me and my last partner went into after talking about bringing that one attribute that we have a tendency to downplay. And his was, you know, he wished that he stood more in his masculine, and I talked, you know, I wish I stood more in my feminine. The dualism again of, you know, growing up kind of in a time where femininity wasn't really appreciated and looked at as weak, you know, so I learned how to armor up and be a good man. And then when I do learn, this has been a process I've been working through in the last 6 years after my divorce, that when I can stand in my femininity and really the power that wields is 10 times greater than me trying to be any kind of a man, because that's not who I am to begin with. So thank you for that, that exercise and bringing that reminder. And it's crazy to see how it affects the opposite sex as well. You know, how we were both talking about the same issue. So I hope that we can heal that within ourselves and show up more authentically going forward.
Thanks, Heather. Something came up for me is the power and beauty of multiple perspectives, because dualism exists. And when it gets stuck in just one perspective, that's when it goes to the bad place of versus the other side, instead of bringing the two together.
Well, I feel a real call to be spiritual activists. I think we're uniquely gifted to bring the true potter and the true mater together in a beautiful relationship. Right now, I think the problem with the body of humanity, for the most part, is that there's an incompatible relationship. And I think it's primarily because potter is not the real potter. It's an imposter. It's a creation of the human mind, disconnected from the frequency of creation. And so when you have this bogus potter attempting to be in relationship with the mater, you have a very unsatisfactory situation. You have irreconcilable differences, and I feel you have the mater just longing for the appearance of the true potter. And here we are, ready to bring that, looking up instead of taking our cues from cultural icons from the world out there. We're taking the cues for our action from our internal state, from the frequency of creation, and thus bringing that relationship back into a beautiful, dynamic dualism, a true marriage.
We had a wonderful, beautiful time with you and the wife. And I was saying something that makes that blending difficult for people, white or black. Well, we have been blessed, because most time when I see people, I see what is behind the people. I do not see colors. I see what moves the people around. And I was giving an example that here, right here in Florida, our neighbor there, even when we're not feeling well, came to share love with us. Next year is Casey. Casey will always want to be with me. David is there. He is a technician. He wants to be with me, because I don't see them as colors. I see the beauty that encompasses them. And when we begin to do that, I know there is hate. I gave a brief example, like my African black, they recall things that have happened in the past and which are still happening. But they do happen in the whites too, and they do happen in the blacks. But when we begin to emphasize on power of that duality, love, we see those things become shadows.
In my experience of, you might say, looking up and ascending and looking out, it's creative as all things are new, to get to points along the way when there's kind of like arrogance and self-righteousness and think I've arrived, and then life throws me a curve and I can't judge things. I've got to discover in a new way other dimensions that I'm not familiar with. And so some of these exercises today was doing that for me. Mike Huckabee on the men's meeting on Monday was saying that when he was doing paintings, once in a while he'd throw something to come in that would be very dissonant or abstract or bold that he'd have to work around and incorporate, which took the repetitiveness of his process or the dullness of it into a new dimension where he had to bring new brightness and creativity into the situation. So I don't think life lacks any new opportunities to surprise us and cause us to, instead of judge the situation, face the situation and see how we can really energize and discover and create new ways of being creative together, and therefore include dimensions that we didn't think we could even think about or be part of. And it's good to be put in that place where we discover new things just when we think we've arrived in some great spiritual vision or perspective.
It's like you were talking about life throwing us a curve, and I think we throw life a curve periodically. And there's a upside to that and a downside. If we're dodging the issue, then that's a curve. If we're moving into position for it to be a strike right down the center, then that's a creative move. And that's what we're about. So thank you.
Thank you, Hugh. I think this ties back to what we were speaking about with regards to surrender and vulnerability. It occurred to me with what I was sharing that I downplay the gift I'm bringing out of fear that the love that's attached to it won't be accepted, and therefore it will be a rejection of me, or I'll feel foolish for having offered something that was important to me that other people either didn't see or didn't value. So I am aware that there is sometimes a holding back to not want to be vulnerable for something I think is precious and another person possibly not. And so it's easier just not to make a big deal out of it. And the value of saying, I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing it because you're precious to me and I want to share this precious gift with you. Get past the vulnerability and into the union of it all.
I just want to rejoice in the celebrating the newness that does come through as I allow it to be so, and also appreciate that in another person, just seeing that come forth. And them doing the work to allow it to happen. So,
thank you, Marilyn and Jane, because I've been thinking these things, similar things, that when I share that with somebody else of something that's special or an observation of that other person, it's like I am allowing that person to see me in another light, and for them to know that I see them in another light, in a new light, that maybe they didn't see themselves that way. And so it's like magic is just possible when we tune in to the truth of the situation when we're with another person and allow that to be revealed of myself, or to draw that from the other person, then magic is definitely afoot, and it can just change the personality or change the vision of myself or the other person's vision of themselves because of what I said or what they said to me. So it's just priceless. Thank you.
Let's have one more and then we'll close with the meditation.
I suppose one reason we might hesitate to show a side of ourselves or to approach someone that someone we wouldn't usually connect with, it's because we know there's a whole vast world waiting to unfold in our own experience and in theirs when we do it. And so that's a something to remember. Thank you.
Beautiful. Well, let us prepare ourselves for a little bit of meditation together. So open your spine, open your lungs, relax your abdomen. Find your center, connecting point of the heart between heaven and earth. I'd like to welcome Lana to guide us into a meditation. Thank you, each one, for a beautiful hour. And this will conclude our time.
Thank you, Oren. We're going to do a meditation called the Prana Breath, and it uses the technology of the toroidal field. So for those of you who may not be too clear about what the toroidal field is or what a toroid is, it's a mechanism with two poles. It's a sphere, and it draws in from both poles, and it meets at the center, and it recycles the energy back into the poles. And it's this beautiful self-generating mechanism that you usually find with magnetic poles. So to utilize this energy, we're gonna do a breath, and I'll kind of explain it, and then we'll do it together. So as we inhale, we're gonna be drawing from both ends, from our crown, and you can sit down or stand up, but it would be from your root or your legs. So breathing in from both ends, and we're gonna pull the energy up into the heart. So you're amassing this energy here in the heart. And on the exhale, you're gonna take that energy and put it into your energy field, the space around you. So let's take a few breaths together. Breathing in, drawing from both ends, like a straw, collecting the energy, breathing out, and seeing that energy disperse into your field. It just cleanses and brings fresh life force energy into the space. Breathing in and out. Again. Just letting your space get so dense with that beautiful prana, the vital life force energy. And on the next inhale, go ahead and collect the energy. And as you exhale, this time, bring it to a part of your body. Any part that may need extra love, send it right to that area. And now just take inventory. Just notice how you're feeling in your body, how the space feels around you. Anytime you need an extra shot of life force energy, it's right here in your breath. When you're ready, just go ahead and open your eyes, coming back into this space. Thank you.
Wow. Anybody feel warmer in their body? Have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much for a miraculous time together.
Thank you all.
Breathe deep, let it integrate.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Jerry.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To all.
Love you guys.
Thanks, Oren.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Oren.
Nice job. Thank you.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi. Hi, Layla.
Hi.
Lovely to see you.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Ruth.
Where's that? Oh, hello, Samuel and Sarah and JJ. Oh, thanks, Oren.
You too. And thank you, Jean, for letting us have the time to be able to say hi. Beautiful. Thank you.
See you, Sarah and Samuel.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, thank God for today.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Bye.